Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by the Olympics, the mono repo of the sporting world. Episode 227, Better React Native Tooling with Tommy Nguyen and Adam Foxman.
Have you ever done the Wikipedia deep dive before? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like six clicks to Jesus, I think it was.
Okay, now I haven't heard of that.
But the idea is you could give any Wikipedia article and you start clicking on links, you should be able to get to the article about like Jesus in six clicks.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I have not experienced that. I'm going to need to try that. What I'm talking about is just literally getting curious about something and going to Wikipedia and like scrolling down, seeing something interesting, clicking on it. Now you're onto something else very interesting and you scroll down and then you see something interesting. Either you end up on Jesus or you just end up continuing to do that and going and going and going. I did one recently on, I don't even know how to say this, but Aurochs, A-U-R-O-C-H-S. They're the ancestors to cows.
What?
Yes, they're the ancestors of cows. So like they look like cows. They're kind of like bigger and more kind of angular than cows, but apparently the last one died like, I don't know, it was in 1627 or something like that in Poland. And they're depicted all over in cave paintings, basically. So that's how often we kind of know about it. And of course, probably writings and whatnot. But it's kind of like the word ox comes from it.
That's amazing. How did you end up there?
To be completely honest, I don't know.
That's the fun of the Wikipedia game.
That's the fun of it, yeah. What about you two? Have you done any recent ones?
I wouldn't say recently, but I did learn this morning about interrobangs, the character.
Okay, explain.
Which is a combination of a question mark and an exclamation point. I didn't know there was a character for that. Hmm.
There is a character. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, doesn't that feel like a little... That feels a little aggressive, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like a question mark will do. You don't need to like throw both at me.
Aggressively like, inquisitive.
Answer my question.
I guess that's a good transition over to intros. So I'm Jamin Holmgren, your host and friendly CTO of Infinite Red. I'm joined by my aggressively inquisitive co-hosts, Robin and Mazen, as well as a couple of guests who I will be introducing in just a bit. Robin is a senior software engineer located in Portland, Oregon. Works at Infinite Red and specializes in React Native. How are you doing, Robin? Have you been getting any sleep lately?
Not a lot, but I'm doing okay.
With the new little one.
That's new, why I'm a new little one who has been sick probably more of his life than he's been healthy. So
poor kid.
Long nights. I apologize for my voice may be a little froggy today as he lovingly shared his germs with me.
Yeah, well, that's what kids do. Mm-hmm. They really like to bolster your immune system.
Yep, that's a good way to put it.
We also have Mazen. Mazen lives in Durham, North Carolina, is a former pro soccer player and coach, and is a senior React Native engineer also here at Infinite Red. How you doing, Mazen? Do you have any, you don't have any kid-related sickness yet, that is?
No, not yet. Yes, my wife is due very soon, so...
We'll is that the first time we've said that on the podcast?
I think by
the
way? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, congrats, Mazen.
Basically, Mazen and I are just tagging in and out.
Yeah.
I'm just my like, turn. Okay, exactly. Your turn. See ya.
Your turn. Right. Exactly. I did my turns 8+ years ago, and they're all growing up. They're all getting
one of them's almost big. Graduated.
17 years old. Yeah. In fact, you know what? It's funny. Not to derail even further, we have a lot of cool stuff to go over, but I was just chatting with him the other day and he's like, yeah, I'm almost done with my junior year because he's doing like self-driven at home and he's just destroying it. He's just going so fast. I was like, well, can you just start on your senior year then? He's like, well, I'll email them about it. Maybe I can knock that out this year too.
That's awesome.
Just like his dad.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't that great at homework.
He'll be on the podcast.
To be honest.
Yep.
Maybe so. We also have our guests who are both from Microsoft, Tommy Nguyen, who is a principal software engineer. He's been at Microsoft for 7 years, and he is currently working on developer experience, which is going to play a very key role in this conversation today. How are you doing, Tommy?
Good. How are you?
Doing really well. Doing well.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, awesome. I'm really happy that you're here. It's going to be a fun and very informative conversation. We also have Adam Foxman. Adam is a principal software engineer. He's been at Microsoft since 1998, way back in the old days, working on lots of projects. He's currently working with Microsoft Office, doing everything React Native. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I didn't mean to inadvertently call you old there. I'm basically the same age as you, so.
I'm old. I look around the hallways, and the youth are joining me every year. And
wear it with pride. It's not a bad thing.
No, you know what? It's always fun to talk shop with people who've been around for a long time, because there's a lot of kind of shared experiences that, you know, this industry has grown really quickly. And for every one of us, there's 100 of you know, the kind of new to the industry people. And so it's sort of this small club.
Well, Microsoft also looks very different now than it did in 1998, I'm sure.
It does. It is. It's a very different place.
It's almost like you've gone through multiple Microsofts.
Yeah. And the evolution of Office, I feel like, has come such a long way along those years.
Yeah, we're a subscription now. No more selling you 50 floppy disks. That was how I first installed Office.
My first encounter with Office, I think, was there an Office 97?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
I think that was
my first encounter, which was not your fault, because you weren't there until the next year. So actually, I got my start doing Office, like VBA programming, yep, way back in the day.
I think
day,
a so. Lot of people did that. Like,
yeah,
same.
Microsoft Office probably played a pretty formative role for a lot of developers.
This episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remotely in the US and Canada. If you're looking for React Native expertise for your next project, hit us up. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/react-native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast. And if you're interested in joining this amazing team, this aggressively inquisitive team, just go to careers.infinite.red. We are hiring senior level React Native engineers located in the US or Canada. All right, let's get to our topic for today. So the topic, what we were titling this is Better React Native Tooling, but this is primarily around RNX Kit. If I remember correctly, both of you were involved in creating RNX Kit. So I'd like to ask Tommy to start off, what is RNX Kit? Like, if you were to just give kind of a high level overview of what it is.
It's basically a collection of React Native tools that we've found to be useful.
Yeah, you're right on it. I mean, RNX Kit is a collection of tools which we've built to help developers, you know, work through the entire React Native lifecycle. The focus right now is on developer experience, and in particular, bundling and dependency management. But we have bigger aspirations, and we just want to get things in the hands of developers that are going to help them and make the experience smooth.
What all does it do right now? Like, as of now, I know you have some kind of like aspirations, but what does it do currently?
It kind of does a little bit of everything. We have on the GitHub, we have a README with a table that shows all the individual tools and what they do. And you can see that with aka.ms/rnxkit. But there are Babel plugins and presets. We've got Metro plugins, and we've had to make a Metro plugin harness to make those work. We do type checking when you bundle. We'll do symlink traversal, which Metro historically hasn't had. And experimentally, we're playing with tree shaking using ESBuild. We have a dependency management tool, a tool suite really that keeps your repo up to date as React Native changes and all those dependencies that you use change. And that's a super important part of, you know, hygiene over time. Keeping your app working with known good combinations of dependencies is actually quite challenging. So we want React Native to be accessible to everybody. I mean, we've got a command line interface that sort of ties it all together. And we've also got APIs for each tool if you want to sort of bring one in and customize it. You know, we support both of those avenues.
So I have a question that I'm sort of thinking of on the fly. So if you don't, if you're not prepared to answer it, that's totally fine. But I'm curious if you could go into maybe some specific examples of pain points. Like, what was painful for your developers that you were trying to make better or to solve?
The dependency manager is the first one that comes to mind. And Tommy wrote that. So Tommy, do you want to jump in there? And
basically, when we moved, I think we started with React Native back in when it was in 40-something, like 42, 43. And then bumping React Native to the next version has always been super painful. Like, which dependencies do you need to bump? Which version number do you need to bump to? Which config do you need to change? Which project files do you need to touch and so on? And you can imagine that we have a monorepo with hundreds of packages. And so bumping, making sure that all of those packages still work after the bump is quite painful.
I imagine by the time you're done, it's time to upgrade again.
Yep. Then the next RC is out and we're like, oh my God, not again. Yeah, we have a mixed repo where you have web packages and React Native packages mixed in. And it always gets... People always inadvertently bump something that breaks React Native. You know, the tool went through several iterations internally where we... in the beginning, we had a simple script to just make sure that everyone is using that one version of React, React Native, etc. But then we had the problem across repos as well. So when our packages were consumed outside of our monorepo, dependencies were not quite aligned. That caused a bunch of issues. And so we were looking to basically create a tool for telling everyone at Microsoft what to do.
That's pretty cool. I think, you know, that's very helpful and helps the developer experience at the end of the day, making it much easier. For people that haven't heard of RNXKit before, what are some competitors or comparable tools out there that they can kind of compare to, whether they've used them in the past or not?
Or are there none? Are you guys doing something new?
Oh, it's a great question. We kind of built RNXKit because there were gaps. So wherever there were existing tools, we would rather just use those. It's just a better approach overall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the community is using those tools and everybody's familiar with them, why create something new? But I think each of the things we built is there because sometimes they've come from things that we built up internally that were missing in the community and we just wanted to publish them. And other times, more lately, we've been focusing on what's the holistic developer experience. And there were things like TS Loader on Webpack. There's nothing like that for Metro. And so I've been spending a lot of time integrating Metro and TypeScript, and that's kind of a new thing as far as I know. And I think it's really important to just sort of quality control over time. And so that, to me, that was one of the, I don't know that there's a competitor out there doing it, I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, I feel like if there was, we would have heard more about it because this is one of those problems that everybody has been trying to solve for as long as software has existed.
Yeah, there are closely related tools that sort of do some of what we do, but nothing holistic, nothing complete. So we leveraged those where we could and we created where we couldn't.
That's pretty cool. I mean, plugging the gaps, like you mentioned earlier, that's pretty good. And just kind of looking at the full list, which we'll get into a little bit later, but there's a lot of different aspects of this kit that are very helpful and definitely plugging some gaps.
We're using... In fact, this is the first time I had really kind of looked at it. So Tommy and Lorenzo, Chiandra, I hope I'm saying that correctly. Chiandra? I don't know exactly how to say that.
It's just Lorenzo.
Lorenzo. Yeah, I just know him as Lorenzo.
React Native Lorenzo.
Exactly. React Native Lorenzo gave a talk at React Native EU about it, which was great. But like, I hadn't actually, you know, encountered it necessarily in the wild until we integrated it into Ignite, our React Native boilerplate, to support symlinks out of the box, because Metro doesn't support that. And so symlinks are important for a few different reasons, but most notably two. One is monorepo support. Often monorepos are using symlinks. And also PNPM. If you want to use PNPM instead of NPM or Yarn, PNPM uses symlinks, and so you need to have that. There were a few other things we had to do to make that work, but RNXKit was very key there. So I have a question about that. Why did you build a separate module rather than like extending Metro to have all these features internally, essentially.
The idea is to upstream what we're building eventually. Mm. But we've built it as sort of plugins and presets for now, because mm-hmm. it's a way to use RNXKit as a proving ground. We mm-hmm. want to build prototypes. We want to run experiments. And when we don't get it right, we want to start all over again.
Yeah.
Mm. And we kind of want to do that off to the side without impacting the whole community.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
It actually does. Yeah.
We're fortunate. We have a lot of internal monorepos, big ones, that we can try these out at scale and mm-hmm. really see how they're going to work. Not just perform, but is the experience any good? Could it be better? And so we're sort of rolling that all in back into RNXKit, and it's becoming extremely useful. And we're kind of at the point now where we're ready to start sharing the ideas and promoting what we've built, but also thinking about upstreaming. The tools kind of work better together. So upstreaming one here and there doesn't always make the best sense, but it is where we're heading, at least wherever possible. You know, the Metro stuff I could see going into core. Some of the other stuff, probably not.
We'll definitely keep an eye out. It would be really great to see some of it integrated into Metro itself. So can you talk a little bit about the interface, the CLI? Like, what does a user actually interact with?
There's two surfaces. The CLI is the main one, and it ties everything together. It's just a scripting interface. It's really useful in package.json script blocks or CI loops, and it gives you sort of high-level control over everything working in concert. You can run the depth checker. You can do bundling with our add-ons and plugins. You can run a Metro server in the same way. You can even clean out your repo caches if something's gone wrong internally. We've also got an API-level interface for each of the tools, and it's documented in the README file. So if you want to do something specific or you don't want the opinions that are built into the CLI, you can just grab something off the shelf, like the Metro configuration, and you can tweak it. I think you guys are doing something like that with the Symlink resolver in your templates. And it just, you know, you can get the benefit of that particular piece without having to deal with all the rest of it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's super cool. I love these types of tools.
You can tell they were made by developers for developers.
Right, on real projects, mm-hmm. not just sort of yeah. like for Twitter.
Not like hypothetical, you know, like, yeah. I love things that are developed organically like that, where
yeah.
the problem arose first, and then the tool was built to fill the gap or fix the problem. I want to know a bit about what the magic sauce is behind the dependency manager, because that, I mean, it's such a difficult problem that no one's really been able to solve. Like, what's the magic, and does it ever get things wrong?
It's magic. So no, it's based on a lot of the apps that we are using internally. So we have several apps that we kind of co-maintain, and we take the dependency from them, basically. So when we bump React Native to the next version, we make sure that we also bump to the whatever React Native community modules we use and make sure that they work. So we have test beds, basically, where we can try out some of these combinations and make sure that they work, and we ship them out to customers. And all of that knowledge also goes back into the depth check to make sure that
I see.
You know, the next person also received the benefit of the work that we did, so they don't have to go through the same process that we did, basically.
I see. Okay.
So it's basically a curated list of dependencies, but we are looking to kind of automate that in some way, so that we don't have to go through every capability.
There is a human element
yeah.
to the magic.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It reminds me a bit of a package that Gant Laborde, who's one of the owners here at Infinite Red, built called Solidarity, which is essentially like, you know, checking environment more than maybe dependencies. But in some ways, there's some parallels here where it kind of like is really trying to make it so that you can kind of get to a common setup for where we know things work, right? And so, like, same thing for dependencies. Mm-hmm. You can like say, okay, these dependencies work with React Native 67.2 or whatever.
I mean, as a more junior developer, I don't think...
No, hold on. I'm not letting you get away with that.
No, not now. When I was a more junior developer.
In the past.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you were not saying currently. Like, I'm a junior developer. I'm like, Robin, you have like 8 years of experience now.
It took me a long time to stop saying that, but I did get there.
You did get there. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, good.
When I was sort of more green, I don't think I realized how much of that kind of thing was really based on just human people like tinkering with stuff until they figured out what worked. I thought there was just sort of like, I don't know, that people sort of knew intuitively, or that there was like tooling out there that would be like, okay, so this package works with this version of this package, and that like it was all automated, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the idea behind Solidarity, like you were just saying, is you basically find someone has an environment where it works, and so they can snapshot their environment and
say, like,
we know that this combination of things works. And then other people can use that tool to be like, okay, does my environment match this? So it sounds a little bit like that's what you're doing. And we discovered yesterday, right, Jamin, that it's only as good as what you put into it.
It's true. So Robin was doing some work on Ignite, I think.
Yeah, I was doing work on Ignite. And I was getting an error that like wasn't on CI. Nobody else was getting this error. So we snapshotted our environments, and I was like, oh wait, I'm using Node 12. Which is like four versions behind, and that was the issue. But it was because our Solidarity file hadn't been updated in like 2 years.
I think it was saying you have to use at least Node 8.6.
Oh, wow.
Which, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So well, the tool only works as well as the people that are configuring it.
Is the input, yeah. I really wish it was magic.
So how did you guys come together to develop RNX Kit? Was that something that just kind of came about organically? I know you mentioned it was to help fill some gaps. Did a developer eventually say, hey, you know, I was running into this issue, so I created this, and then it kind of came together and it kind of grew from there?
Well, Microsoft's been doing React Native for a number of years, and internally we've sort of been building these tools up as we go because we needed them. It wasn't that someone came from outside or said, hey, we should do a big push to open source tools as we make them. We just sort of had developed the tools as we were going, and we got to a point where we realized we have a lot of good stuff here. Let's put it out there into the world and see if we can get other people using it and have it benefit them in the ways that it's benefited us. And, you know, also get contributions and be more active members in the community, because it's a really great community, a really active community. And so it's sort of just seemed like the next right step. And, you know, we have aspirations to do big things with it, but at this point it's focused on developer experience and tools and dependency management, which seem like to be the core problems that we keep hearing from a lot of internal developers. And so that's how we got here.
Is this part of an effort to sort of start more widely promoting it? I mean, I know you guys did the RNEU talk not that long ago. Are you sort of trying to get the word out more?
That is a bit of serendipity that this podcast is happening now, because I was just thinking, nobody really knows what we're doing here. And we had this RNEU talk and we had some helpful tweets. But I think after the holidays, I was thinking it's time to sort of really start to spread the word, because what we have is really stable and it's useful, and we're using it internally. And so when I heard that we were going to get to go on this podcast with you all, I was thinking this is a really wonderful way to kick things off.
Gotta put your marketing hat on.
Yeah, we need more exposure, and I definitely want to hear from people who try out this stuff and write about it, and good and bad experiences they've had, because that's really only going to help us do better.
It's kind of funny, because as developers, you know, our first instinct is to build, not necessarily to market. And, but yeah, sometimes really cool stuff can go under the radar. But the more I look into RNX Kit, the more I'm like, we've gotta be using this. This is really cool. There's cool stuff here. And I've known that there's cool stuff happening at Microsoft for a long time. I'm in the open source, Discord, where, you know, the core team is doing discussions and whatnot, and I'm seeing the discussions happening between the Facebook Meta engineers and Microsoft. But like, you know, this is the first time where it's like, oh, this is like a real thing that we can use as the community, and that's going to really make our lives easier. And it already has made our lives easier, so I appreciate it. In fact, I saw a tweet by Eli White. This was a while ago. It was in October. But Eli, of course, works for Facebook. And he said, I spent a night upgrading a personal React Native project from 0.63 to 0.66, which I think at the time was the latest version, in order to run on iOS 15. I kept running into Xcode build errors, crashes, and red boxes. Then I had to update my third-party libraries to be compatible. Oof. Then I got pointed to a tool by Microsoft, which is DepCheck, you know, which is in RNX kit. And Microsoft talked about it at React Native EU this year. It told me all the versions of my dependencies that were compatible with 0.66. I ran it, and then my app launched no problem. That's amazing. And then he gives a shout out to Tommy for the work there, which I know that's some pretty awesome work. So, you know, like there's some like, you know, recognition happening, but I really do think that the community needs to go check this out. Like, if you're a React Native developer right now, working on a React Native project, go see what's in there, because there's a lot in there that you may be like not even thinking about, that it's like, okay, well, this solves a problem for us. And, but yeah, I'm really, really happy about these tools.
Thanks. We're fortunate to have corporate funding, and we're happy to put it out there and support the community. So we're lucky that we don't have to do this as a second job.
Sure.
Our primary job.
Yeah.
And so these tools are actively maintained and will be that way for some time.
That's definitely a nice benefit of working for a behemoth like Microsoft, is that they have the resources to have teams that are dedicated to tools like this.
We've talked about this a bunch on the podcast, and I think now that we have another company as big as Microsoft coming on board and actually managing and maintaining libraries like this, you know, we talked about previously Facebook and Meta investing a lot of money in their all platforms initiative, and how it's getting more stable as things progress, and we can now trust in it completely. So now also hearing this from you guys, and you guys working on this full time, you know, while you're in your full-time job, I think that's very helpful for the community. And if listeners haven't gone to RNX kit by now, I feel like you definitely should. There's a lot of cool stuff in that table that you mentioned earlier. And I mean, there's a couple that kind of caught our attention, and one of them was bundle diff, and there was a RN changelog generator. Those are just a handful. And obviously we mentioned already the DepCheck one. Those are just a handful of some that we thought that were really, really cool. And on the RNEU talk, it's also highlighted a bunch of other ones out there. What are some of you guys' favorite ones from this kit, and what do you use it for?
Tommy, do you have a favorite? Or do you want me to just jump
all
in?
All of them is an acceptable answer to
you. I feel like
I do like all of them. You can go ahead.
Okay. I think the depth checker is pretty magical. I'm partial to TypeScript integration with Metro because I wrote it, and because I think type safety is, it just adds a layer of security and stability that I find comforting as a developer, knowing that stuff's not going to break 3 months from now because in production of all places, because somebody made a change they didn't understand was not going to work. But they're all useful in their own right. And even the small ones like the Symlink Traverser plugin makes a huge difference. Yeah, I mean,
it's true. I mean, we had a mono repo project not too long ago, which we actually had to work around not being able to do Symlinks at Metro. And so something like that can just be like a linchpin for a huge project and make a huge difference, even though it's a pretty simple concept.
Yeah.
So with that being said, like, do you guys find all these libraries kind of helpful outside of Microsoft? So as, you know, as Infinite Red, or as just an individual out there working on a project, how beneficial do you think looking into and integrating these libraries would be in our projects?
Well, our hope is that it's useful outside of Microsoft. Our approach to RNX kit was build for the community first, and Microsoft's just another customer.
That's awesome.
Yes, the tools came from internal mono repos, but I'm a huge developer experience advocate. I wear that hat a lot. And I tend to look at these problems as what makes life hard and what makes life easier. And then I go work on those problems. And it always ends up benefiting Microsoft, but I think it also is going to benefit everybody else. We want these things to be easy to use. We want you to be able to keep your apps up to date and healthy. We want you to succeed, really, and benefit from the work we've done, because it just it's going to make React Native better for us in the long run, selfishly, but it's also really nice to help other folks who don't have the same resources that we have.
Yeah, I love it when I can see, when I see big companies like Microsoft doing that.
Yeah, we're a big believers at Infinite Red of, you know, a rising tide raises all boats type of approach. And so we put a ton of open source out there. In fact, one of the things I'd like to do is more of a deep integration with RxKit within Ignite, where RxKit becomes an integral part of Ignite. We use TypeScript, for example, and we're not taking advantage of the tools that you have for bundling TypeScript. And so I'd like to maybe take a look at that and see what we can do there.
I mean, Infinite Red, we're really small though. That's sometimes the frustrating part, is that we are so invested in the community and we want to see it improved and we contribute where we can. But the reality is all of us have to be like billing on like revenue generating projects. And so we don't always have the time and resources. And so we love it when Microsoft, when Facebook, when whoever is leading the way on things like this, and then we can contribute where we can. But yeah, we love to see it.
I wanted to add one more note in there too. RxKit isn't just a place where we're going to build and release tools. Like you had mentioned earlier, that the changelog generator that Lorenzo uses when he does releases for React Native Core, RxKit could be a place for other people to propose and contribute tools like that. It's not just for filling gaps that we found. It could be another community repository.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that could potentially be a place where Solidarity goes. That's something that we're still sort of like not sure if we want to continue to maintain or not, but there's some really cool stuff in there, and it would totally fit kind of what you're doing there. So that might be something to talk about at some point. But yeah, like what we see, our role is often promoting these things, you know, the efforts that you all are doing and some of the other things out there. We have a podcast, we have live streaming, we do a bunch of other kind of media related things. That's the stuff that we do. And so, you know, getting the word out there is pretty big. Just to kind of wrap up, again, I'm super happy that Microsoft is investing in React Native tooling, which in general has been sort of a dusty corner that has been mostly stagnating for the past few years. And, you know, apologies to the core team who've been working on stuff, but it's just felt like it's not kept up maybe with where web is. And so it's really nice to see the tooling, you know, making strides forward. And it also just shows that Microsoft is going to continue to invest in React Native. And that's just good for the community. Thank you both for coming on the program. I may be hopeful we could have you on again at some point to talk about some more details. But did not have a good transition there.
In the meantime,
where can people find you? You know, GitHub, Twitter, anywhere online, Tommy?
Yeah, on GitHub, on the RxKit repo. You can reach me there.
Perfect. And Adam?
I'm on GitHub as AFoxman. Spell it like it sounds.
Okay.
I'm on the React Native Discord too. Same name.
Perfect. Robin, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Robin_Hines with an E at the end.
Mazen?
At Mazen Chami.
And you can find me at Jamin Holmgren. You can follow the React Native Radio Twitter account at React Native RDIO. Thanks so much to Tommy and Adam for joining us today. And as always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth. Our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartuski, our social media coordinator, Missy Warren, our designer, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/react-native. And thanks to you listening today. Make sure to subscribe, send this to a friend, etc. Really appreciate when people promote and also when we get feedback. Reminder, we are hiring. Go to careers.infinite.red. We'll see you all next time.